Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring host Jen and I.
Hey, everybody.
What's happening,
Shoddy?
Anything interesting going on this week?
Yes, lots of things.
Like what?
Okay. I had a couple of things happen, and I need your help explaining this. Okay. So, about a week and a half ago, right after we taped our last show, I woke up at it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know how you wake up because you feel like you're in a dead sleep. You're sound asleep, but something just wakes you up, right?
Yeah.
Wake up and I look and I open my eyes and there's a shadow figure standing at the end of my bed. And it was about this tall.
About that tall?
Just standing. And I looked.
For everybody that can't see us right now, she's
I forgot.
Up to her shoulders.
It was probably about three and a half feet tall. Okay. It was just standing at the end of my bed. And I blinked and I looked and I'm like, okay, at first I thought it was my fan because I have like a black round fan that I keep in the bedroom in the summertime. And I was like, it's in front of the fan. And I just had this weird feeling, like I didn't feel good type feeling, you know, like that. You wake up too soon and you, I don't know. It was just weird. I just went back to sleep because I was so freaking tired. I was like, okay, whatever. And then the next night, I had a really bad dream. I dreamt something was standing over me, but it was a very scary looking clown. Did I tell you guys this? I don't know. Did I tell you guys this?
No.
Okay. All right. It was at that point, you know, when you just first fall asleep.
Yeah.
And you're
before
just,
the jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a really terrifying clown. And I was screaming at it, leave me alone, you're scaring me. And they woke up in a start.
Oh.
And then two nights before we're taping this, I had one of those sleep paralysis type things. It was really weird. I was in my bed and I don't remember falling asleep, but it was only a few minutes after I fell asleep that it happened, like within 10 minutes because I had looked at the clock before I went to sleep and looked at it when I woke up. But it was like a huge black cloud, very thick, like holding me down. I couldn't get up.
Really?
And I was like terrified. And I started reciting the Lord's Prayer, which I couldn't remember all the words. And as soon as I did that, I like woke up.
Oh.
It was really terrifying.
Yeah.
And like, usually have nightmares when I'm stressed out. You know, I get it. But it was just, yeah, it was very, very odd to have like three different things happen in 1 week. And then last night I had a really scary dream. Right when I fell asleep, and I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't scary like when the thing was holding me down, but it was like holding down my entire comforter.
Okay.
Not just my body, like the whole bed. It was weird. But I had something happen, and I can't remember it last night. I'm hoping I can try to remember it. But it was really scary, and I woke up, and I looked at the clock, and it was like 12:10. And I was like, ugh, why? I need sleep. I need sleep. I can't sleep. I think
what you need to do is cover all your walls in salt block.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did put my salt lamp back into my bedroom. I'm hoping that helps. And then I sprayed some sage spray in the air. But I think I need to do an actual saging.
Yeah.
Some real, you know, like smoke sage.
I've got some if you need it.
I have some. I just haven't had a chance to do it because I'm never freaking home. But, you know, Joe and I have been real busy, right? You know, we've been traveling almost every weekend. We work full time. We take care of our parents. We, you know, I run my business. We do the podcast. I come home the other night. So I leave early in the morning and come home late at night, right? You know, like most people do. They go to work. They come home.
Uh-huh.
I look up. There's cobwebs all over in my house. I'm like, it's been so long since I've even had a chance to like clean. Not that I'm dirty. I'm not saying I have a dirty house or anything. But I'm like,
you haven't vacuumed the walls or nothing.
I'm like and obsessive like that though. Like,
if you notice on my to-do list, it's clean house. And I've got them listed here. Bedroom, back room, studio, kitchen.
Yeah, like, you know me. I don't like a mess. I don't like things out of order. I will dust on top of the door frames. You know, I'm like obsessive like that. But yeah, I was like, okay, there's a cobweb. It's been a minute since we've been home, so it's time.
Yeah.
Have you had any weird things happen?
No, nothing.
Oh, come on.
Nothing. Seriously, I'm still waiting for my mattress to show up, if that's a weird thing.
Yeah, well, you got to go get it.
Yeah, we do have a great guest today. Mike is the organizer of The Paranormal Man. I know we've had him on the show before, but he runs a organization that is more of a scientific route of investigating and, you know, using tools in that. But he talks about it in the interview, so let's get to it.
And with us today, we have Mike Stevenson.
A
return guest. We love it when people come back. The Paranormal Man.
Oh, yay.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't remember what conference we were at that we met before, but we'll have to go back and listen to the episode.
I don't know. I don't remember either. It's
you know, we
I show
so
up everywhere.
Many yeah. of these.
I'm like a bad penny or a good ghost.
We'll go with the good. We'll go with the good.
Yeah.
Mike, so tell us a little bit about this haunted Ramblewood house. I seen your poster
wow.
over here, and I really want to go there right now.
Okay.
It looks spooky.
Do you have a few days? It's going to take that long. Really, there's so much to talk about it. And what's interesting about it is the building we actually use that, the Paranormal Man organization, uses that building as our base test building for testing procedures, equipment, and everything that goes with it. Like, we'll get questions sent to us from all around the world about things they want to find out about or something they don't understand, and we'll put it to a test there and see how it flies, because we pretty much know how the spirits are going to react to different circumstances and different types of equipment, and even something totally new. We know how they react to things, and they'll pretty much, you know, either react or not react. And by those reactions, we can pretty much tell whether something's going to fly or fall.
Okay.
And that also, it goes along very well with test procedures. We've managed to weed out a lot of different things, and it's funny how much, how can I put this? When I tell people, for instance, I use this as an opening in some of my lectures, I can walk to California, but I'd much rather fly. And for that reason, there's a lot of procedures people do in investigating that really make no difference whatsoever. So why bother doing them? And immediately, I will get this, their feathers will ruffle up, and it's like, well, that works for me. I said, well, how do you know it works for you? How have you ever been able to test what you're doing against a different method to see if it is working for you, if it is making anything, you know, better, if you are getting better response? How are you able to test that?
Just do it.
Right.
You gotta get out and do the work.
We were, I took a group when I once had a group, and I took the group with me to New Jersey to, now I gotta remember the name of it. It was the Old Mill.
Okay.
All right. And it's an interesting place because it's kind of like a graveyard of antique buildings.
Okay.
Of all better things.
All right.
And in New Jersey, they have a funny thing. If they want to use a property to build something new, and the building that's on there is a historical building, they're not allowed to tear it down.
Okay.
So they actually uproot it and take it to this plot of land where this old mill was, and they'll place all these buildings there.
Wow.
And that's what was interesting, one time I heard this show where this paranormal group had gone to there, and they were talking to a ghost, and the ghost took them from building to building to meet the other ghost.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
I said,
cool.
Well, this is kind of neat. So I took a group there. I managed to get permission to visit the place, and we visited, and we did an investigation there. And several of the people who I had with me had actually trained under me as far as the procedures that I was teaching to do. And these, of course, the weeded out procedures. These are the procedures that you took out the stuff that didn't make any difference. And this group went ahead and used this method, and they got all kinds of results. And it was interesting because some of the people who ran the place, they said to me, well, gee, they got all this, that, and the other. Aren't you so happy that they were able, you know, that your method allowed them to do that? And I said, well, really, it's not my method. I just help weed out all the bad stuff. I said, the method is their method because they're using it. And the fact that they got results proves the method works. And that's all I wanted to see. I didn't really want credit for what they got. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy myself that the procedures made a difference mm-hmm. in what they got.
So your background is in electronics, so you or you just have a great knowledge of electronics. Like, how do you marry those two? Like,
well, for many, many years, I hate to put it that way, because I'm still looking for a young woman out there.
Hey.
Yeah. I've been an electrical engineer. I have a degree in electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. Also a degree, I have a master's degree in computers. And I've also been a broadcast engineer.
Okay.
So I kind of have a long line of engineering and electronics. I even taught engineering. It was electrical engineering in college, really. Mm-hmm. I was a college professor for a couple of years, so I did that too. And putting all that together with my experiences kind of gave me a pretty good insight on what I was trying to evaluate, what I was trying to understand. So I kind of collected people who had the same thoughts, the same ideas, put them together, and not trying to emulate any one of us, but together we worked as a team to learn more about what we were doing. And that's literally how it all came about.
Now, have you ever electrocuted yourself?
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Did you ever get electric, like a really big electric shock?
Oh, yes.
Like, do you think that helps you connect with the paranormal at all?
Well, they say that they need energy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as
what
odd
did it
as
feel like having that charge go through your body?
It was tingly.
Yeah. Very shocking experience.
And you know what? I'm only asking because, like, when I had my apparition show up in my house, I had that electrical charge all through my body. And I was, like, trying to think if being electrocuted had that same feeling as that feeling when the ghost shows up.
Well, I don't know. Many, many years after, I was actually hit by lightning twice.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
Yeah. But that's a really unique experience in itself because
buy a lottery ticket.
in fact, the pastor of the church I attend, he calls me the miracle man.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny because even with the electrical shocks and I think part of it is the investigating techniques I use. Mm-hmm. I've gotten along pretty much with the spirit world.
Okay.
There's been something.
Are they drawn to you?
Yes. And I can go all the way back to when I was 8 years old when I had my first experience, which is rather unusual. And to this day, I'm not sure who or what it was, but I actually fell down a flight of stairs. And I never hit bottom. I actually stopped in midair. Something grabbed me by my stomach and carried me back up to the top. I could feel it.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't see it. Oh, I didn't know what it was.
Back all the way to the top.
Checked me all the way back to the top. And that was my very first experience when I was 8.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
Crazy. Yeah.
And it was like from then on, I start wondering what's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you find like with having that background and knowledge of electricity and energy and how it works, do you feel like maybe the spirits are drawn to you because of you have that knowledge and you know how that works, and or do you think that they're just all around us all the time?
Well, it's kind of a yes to both. They are all around us all of the time, 24 hours a day. They just don't show up well during the daylight, but I do have, you've seen on the show over there, mm-hmm. I have plenty of pictures of them in the daylight.
Yeah, yeah.
But in addition, with my knowledge of electronics and the knowledge of recording instruments and how they work, it's helped me understand how they actually speak to us.
I think they hear us the way you and I hear?
No, definitely not. And people will say, well, how do you know? Well, been there, done that. Mm-hmm. No, they don't hear us like we hear us because, for one thing, you have to open your mind to how different species talk to each other. Each species of anything its basic makeup is designed for communicating with one another. Now, we communicate with each other through vibration. Our vibration we communicate with vibrates, our voice vibrates the air vibrates our ear, and so on and so forth biologically, and of course eventually it creates an electrical impulse which works in the brain. But I don't really want to get into the biology of the whole thing, but the process is through mechanical vibration. And that's how we communicate, both hearing and speaking. Well, if you go back and think, well, what is the spirit? The spirit, the ghost, is a soul. It's that part of the person that no longer needs a body. It is your life force. So when you die, your spirit is still you. And it still is you, technically, as far as you would even think. It's just you're not carrying that 98% bag of water around with you anymore. Right. Basically, that's what it boils down to. So since you don't have the mouth, you don't have the ears, you don't have the eyes, you can't utilize those items anymore to see, hear, speak, what have you. But you're now a big ball of energy with intelligence built in. And if you know the basic law of energy, energy can transfer into a different form. Can't be destroyed, but it can go from one form to another and back to energy. So the entire universe is made up of electrical and magnetic impulses. Every form of impulse is magnetic in nature. All the radio waves, the cosmic waves, the sunlight, they're actually magnetic impulses at different frequencies. So them being pure energy, it's easier for them, since they have intelligence with it, to convert part of their energy into a type of magnetic wave. And that magnetic wave is exactly what we're receiving, what shows up on our recording instruments. Sometimes we can hear them because our thought waves are actually magnetic. That's how an EEG machine's actually able to function. It measures your brain waves. It's picking up a magnetic impulse from your brain. That's how they communicate with you, the same way. They duplicate that type of frequency, and either you're able to hear it or it absorbs into a recording device or a voice recorder so that we can hear it later. Okay? And that's how it's produced. That's exactly how they do it.
Do you think it's easier for them to use the old, like, cassette-type tapes or magnetic tapes versus a digital recorder?
Well, I haven't had any of them actually tell me the difference.
Okay.
But I guess that, in a sense, it would be easier because a coil of wire can pick up a communication a lot easier in that respect than the other methods. Now, I have utilized, in fact, I've proved what I'm saying using a different device that normally no one would use in the paranormal, and that's a device called an inductive amplifier.
Okay.
It's used by mostly telephone company people to check for bad telephone lines.
Okay.
And when you have a bad telephone line, usually it's shorted or something, and any long length of wire acts just like a coil of wire where it generates a magnetic impulse. And an inductive amplifier picks up these impulses and sends it out through an amplifier into a speaker. Now, I was experimenting with another engineer one day. In fact, we were at the Ramblewood House. And Bill Chappell, which you may have heard of, invents a lot of different things. He built this device. He called it the EVP pump. And basically what it does is it changes audio vibrations into magnetic impulses.
Oh, sort of reverse of what we normally use.
Precisely. And the thing of it was, we were trying to demonstrate this, but there was no way to demonstrate it because we can't hear magnetic impulses.
Yeah.
So I said to Bill, I said to a buddy of mine, who was with me, I said, you know what? I have something that might be able to decipher what the pump is actually putting out. So I went in my car and I got the device called, an inductive amplifier, and I held it near the device, and sure enough, as he was speaking in the microphone, which was converting it to the pump converted into a wave that the inductive amplifier was able to pick up. And a little bit later on, this is the interesting thing. I was playing with the unit myself. I was talking into the microphone, and I happen to know, because my granddaughter is actually a full whisper. She can see, hear, speak, and talk to him. She told me about this little boy who thought that I reminded him of his grandfather. So when I was using this device and I was speaking through the microphone, all of a sudden, out of the inductive amplifier comes this voice that says, "Pop, pop." And it was extremely clear. I mean, it really was.
Wow.
I actually have a recording of it because we recorded the whole thing.
So cool.
It is. And you know, we understood that for the first time he actually heard my voice. And I more so reminded him of his grandfather at that point, which is why he, you know, you could hear the glee in his voice. Pop, pop, you know. It was really so sweet, you know. So this, and also in working with the spirits, with this type of communication, proved to me and to everyone else that wants to just look at the facts, that this is definitely how they communicate. And even to go more recently, I was at a convention that was done for this girl who has leukemia. Okay, it was a benefit. And I was lecturing there. And as it was, later on, I was supposed to head up an investigation in the building. Well, they were supposed to divide the people up that paid for investigating. Well, there was a group there who came as a group, six people. They kind of took over the basement, and they became one group. The other 45 people became my group.
Oh,
all righty.
Yeah, and as it was, you know, I'm trying to explain to these people, the most of them were new people, new in the field, and I said, you know, we really can't investigate. I said, the best I can do is demonstrate equipment, show you how it works.
Yeah.
Because there's too many people here to do any type of investigation, especially we were in a dance hall, 45 people in one dance hall. You know, I told them, I said, honestly, spirits can't talk to you with more than three people in a room.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's because of the fact that they're hearing your brainwaves. And more than three brainwaves from three different people will confuse them as to what they're hearing. See, they're like, they got a radio station that's an open microphone. They can hear everything at once. So it's like you're trying to talk to someone in the middle of a rock concert. You can't hear yourself, much less them.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, really so does. That's why they can't hear everybody, you know, that amount of people talking. And here's the interesting. Now, honestly, I don't believe in telephone apps for the purpose of paranormal investigation because, honestly, there's no way that telephone can have the sensors needed to actually decipher what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, this one woman in the group of 45, she had an obelisk app on her phone.
So annoying.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it is. It's annoying when you go.
But here's the wild thing that happened. She's sitting there with it, and of course it starts picking words and putting words out. And what was so interesting, what came up on the screen, she showed it to me. The words popped up on the screen, "Listen to him. He speaks the truth."
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's awesome. That's the first time, a long sentence, too. Yes.
You know?
And what's even more interesting is the fact that I believe that's probably the first time anywhere where the spirit world has confirmed a live person as knowing about them.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
cool.
You know, I can, when someone says to me, well, do you really know how they talk? Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Yeah.
I figured it out, and they confirmed it.
Wow. That is so cool. Let's see, Joe. You got a question. Joe's got a question.
Okay.
Come on, Joe. Give him a question.
You mentioned earlier about a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really strange. I got this, but it was actually a voicemail, and it came over my phone, and I played it, and it says, "Mike, this is Emily. Where have you been? I haven't seen you in months." And
who's Emily?
I was waiting for that question.
I'm like,
Emily is a 16-year-old adorable person. And it was funny because there was one time I mentioned it just to a fellow investigator. He says, well, I'm going to have you listed on pedophiles since you're after a 16-year-old girl. Oh, I said, geez. Now, number one, let's look at it. This 16-year-old girl was a Quaker. At 16, she was an old maid.
Oh. Yeah.
And also, she died 160 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So she's older than all of us.
Yes. Right.
So she's not.
Right. But honestly, my latest book I'm working on, it will be out next year. She's the one asked me to bring her story out. And she didn't even have the information available to give me. I've been investigating that for 11 years.
Wow.
And I pretty much have all the information. I got to put it together. Now I got to go back and put together the stuff about her sister's death. But when I finish that, then I can put the book out. Basically, the publisher gave me till June of next year to get it done.
Okay. Better get it done, son.
Yes, it's almost done. It's about ready, really. I've been working on it since 2008.
Oh.
That's a long time.
Yeah, especially since their own family took all the information to the grave with them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow. How did Emily pass away?
I'm sorry?
How did Emily pass away?
Well, she was actually murdered, but I can't give you the details out till you read the book.
That's true.
I can't wait to read the book.
Yes.
That's a sad story. No, it was how did you know about her? How did you come to find out about her?
There was several urban legends about the place.
Okay.
And she was one of them. Mm-hmm. Her sister was also another one. It's like there's an urban legend that says, for instance, now her sister at age 25 supposedly committed suicide by hanging herself from the rafters of the cupola of the house.
Oh, wow.
But that's not true. She was actually hung there. And it wasn't even in the cupola. She taught school in a room that was in the mansion, and she was actually hung from those rafters. The house, as it sits right now, wouldn't have rafters to do it, so a lot of people were doubting the authenticity of it. But it turns out, after I really start getting into the building, especially the room that the school room was in, had a cathedral ceiling. And because of that, yes, there were rafters she could have been hung from.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, because, you know, over the years, people change things, they renovate, they block walls off or close off ceilings or whatever. You know, things change over hundreds of years.
Yeah, so. The original house was built in 1841, and it was remodeled in 1925, and that's when the ceilings were dropped and the walls were changed to the gypsum, I think they call it, type of walls. So, yeah, all those changes were made, and it's funny you mentioned about walls being blocked off. Originally, there was like a passageway that went from the kitchen to the butler's room and also connected with a stairway that went to the servants' quarters all the way up on the third floor. And that was blocked off and changed. Part of the hallway was made into a walk-in closet. The rest were completely removed and moved around. And there is another type of killing or something involved in the house. I'm not sure of all the details yet, but it has something to do with where the hallway was that was moved and changed.
Wow.
So there's a couple in there who are constantly arguing.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, when you have these older homes, any homes probably older than early 1900s, they always had the wakes and the funerals right in the house.
Oh, yes.
You know, so there's another recipe for a haunting as well. It's just interesting. I love old house. I mean, I could go to every old house in America.
Yes,
I'd be so happy.
That's a good example of lots of times you hear of the residual hauntings where people will see somebody come and just go through a wall and that they don't understand. They're like, how can they walk through walls? Well, in their time, that wall wasn't there.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, the little boy I was talking about earlier, there's an armoire in a small bedroom on the first floor. And originally that wasn't a bedroom. It was actually a sun porch. And where the armoire sits, now, to this day, he sometimes goes in the armoire and moves it around. So a lot of times they'll put coat hangers on the outside of it. So when the coat hangers vibrate, they know he's in there. So they'll photograph it or record it so they can get, you know, the movement of the paranormal activity there. Well, the big question is, why was he going inside the armoire? Well, it's sort of like the that show Indian in a Closet thing. If you look at where the armoire is sitting, there's a blank wall directly behind it. But if you go outside the house in the backyard, you'll see that the back door to the house originally was right where the armoire is. Ah. So him as a young boy would go out in the backyard and play. Mm-hmm. And he'd come in through the back door, and since the armoire is sitting right there, he just sticks around and plays a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's the whole explanation of why that armoire moves, mm-hmm. because there was a doorway there at once.
Oh, interesting. And you know, Joe and I have been in a lot of different places and old houses and had that feeling like this isn't the way it should have been.
Right.
Or it's changed. And I think that's fascinating. I love all that mystery and hidden passages and all that stuff.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in this new book, I have the original floor plans of the place.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, it gives people a sense of like what it used to look like.
Right.
What it, you know, so you can understand and put that in your mind's eye. Let's switch up directions a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you had to go and investigate and you could only take one piece of equipment, what would you take in with you?
Believe it or not, it would be my RT-EVP unit.
Okay, what is that? And tell us what it is.
Well, unfortunately, it's a device that's not available anymore, unless you get one used. They stopped making them, I think, only because they weren't selling. You know, it's funny. People seem to want to spend $50 for a piece of equipment that'll give them $500 worth of service. It just don't work that way.
Yeah.
If you get something that's going to work well, mm-hmm. you're going to pay for it. Well, this recorder, I mean, it basically looked like a little Sony recorder, but it wasn't. And it cost around $300, really. And what made it different from any other recorder is the fact that it recorded like a regular recorder, although a good thing about it was you could adjust the sensitivity. I mean, you could adjust it from 1 all the way up to 100 dB, which, if you know what that means, well,
I don't.
whatever sound you hear, it could increase its loudness by 100 times. So in a sense, you could definitely hear a pin drop from across the room.
Yeah.
So that's what this thing had ability. It had. Now, that was on the record side. Now, every unit you have has a record side and it has a playback section. Well, this one was different in that respect, you see, because the playback unit was completely separate from the record unit. And when you turn the record unit on, and you could adjust this from 2 to 6 seconds delay, the playback unit would start up whatever amount of delay you set it at, 2 seconds or 6 seconds, but 6 seconds is a better place to put it, believe me. Because, you know, if you're going to ask the question, it will take you every bit of 5 seconds to ask that question. So you need that plus a second breathe time. So what you're listening to is the actual recording 6 seconds after it's made. Now, you say, what good is that? Well, here's what good. When you're listening to a standard recording, and you might have earphones plugged into it, you're hearing what the microphone's picking up. But how many times have you listened to a recording and you heard stuff on the recording you didn't hear in the microphone?
Oh, yeah.
See? So that's what makes this thing totally different, because you're not listening to the microphone on this unit. You're listening to what's actually recorded.
Wow.
So that's what makes the difference. So you can answer them right away when they ask something.
Yeah.
That's so cool. We love it. We love all our equipment.
Yep.
We don't have very fancy equipment. We just have our basics here.
Hey, that's what works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of activity happens in the Ramblewood house?
Anything you can imagine.
Really? Oh, tell us all about it.
Well, the truth is most people who come never stay for the ultimate experience.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yes, it is. Believe me, it is.
We're putting Joe in there because he never sees or anything, and we've got to get him experiencing something.
I'm like the anti-ghost magnet.
Well, I'll tell you. I stopped teaching classes on, you know, how to investigate, what have you. I do apprenticeships now, one-on-one. And I wish some of my apprentices may have been here. I wish they were. because I'd much rather have them testify than me as to what they learn after they're done, you know, with a few sessions with me, because whatever I get to experience, they get to experience firsthand right away. Where'd my brain go?
So we were talking about the different types of activity. You said there's the ultimate experience.
Yes, the ultimate experience. And what's odd is, and I wish it didn't happen this time, but it always seems to happen at the bewitching hour. The most it happens between the hours of 3:30 a.m. and 5 a.m. Of course, that's the bewitching hours, mm-hmm. you know. And no one ever stays that long. They'll investigate, and they'll get creaks and moans and conversations here and there, which are great, you know.
Yeah.
But what really goes on is on the third floor between one room that no one's ever investigated and a hallway and a room that everybody investigates, there's a vortex that opens up. Not all the time now. I can't say, you know, you go there, and it's not like, you know, you're going to go on this ride and it's going to happen every time. No, I can't guarantee that, but a lot of times that I've been there, unless they do this just for me, I don't know, but this vortex opens up, and there's actually spirits traveling from one room to the other, and I've actually videotaped them.
I gotta see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll have spirits poking their head through a wall just to see who it is walking down the hall. You know, and there's some of those pictures are up there on the screen now, where you see one, it's like a wall, and you see a half a head and a half a chest. That's the guy that, like, bent over looking out. He came right through the wall where I was standing, and I had a full-spectrum camera with me, and that's how I was able to see him doing that. And I flashed the camera around, and sure enough, there he is looking at me, because I can feel some entity around me, even if it's a live person. You know, I can feel them. So I felt something behind me, so I flipped the camera around, and sure enough, there he was, poking his head out, you know, saying like, "Hi, Mike, how you doing tonight?" You know, that type of thing.
How are you?
Yeah, and down the hall where this children's bedroom is, there's a wall there that disappears during certain hours, and a door that reappears that ain't there, and it looks like a room inside the wall, and there's people sitting on a couch in there.
Oh, wow. Sort of like an automatic time slip.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of time slip, I actually do have a recording of that happening. Yeah. And everybody I've talked to, even some people from the UFO people, they say they've never seen a reversal of this before, which I have. I had one of my apprentices working in one room, and I was in another room. We were investigating, and she bent over and touched the door frame, and when she did, she got an electrical shock.
Oh.
Like one of my electrical shocks. She got my shock. So, and she hollers out, "Ouch." Now, I had three different movie cameras, high-definition cameras, running at the same time. There was one in each room. So the audio from each one of them and the time stamp matched everything. Now, the one room that was the children's bedroom, the video distorted at this very moment that she got this electrical shock. So we lost video. But part of the frames were showing up. When I went back and looked at it frame by frame where the video was destroyed, there were pieces of the video there that the camera was able to focus on. Now, I compared this with the same camera later in a recording where someone had came up the stairs, went into that room, picked up a folding chair, and walked out. Here's the interesting thing. The recording that was on the messed up video that occurred at the time it occurred, it had a piece of video in it that was not yet to happen for a minute and a half.
Oh.
What?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Yes.
That's freaky.
Yes.
That's like Joe's area. He likes that time slip stuff.
Uh-huh. So people I've showed it to said, "I've never seen that happen." You know, there's times when something can distort a digital recording so that it's what you record will show up again later.
Yeah.
But never has anything ever showed up before it happened.
Yeah.
That that's so cool. You can't comprehend that. You know, like, I have a simple brain. So, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that, you know? Like,
yes, yes.
How did that happen?
And these are some of the things that happened at Ramblewood that people don't spend the time to wait and see.
Yeah.
Now, where is Ramblewood at?
Ramblewood is actually in Darlington, Maryland.
Okay.
It's right near the Pennsylvania-Maryland line.
Okay.
In fact, not too far from it is one of the Mason-Dixon line markers.
Mm, oh, okay.
That's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, because like one time I was going to Gettysburg and got lost and ended up in Maryland. I'm
oh,
like,
sorry.
Where am I? Yeah, where am
yeah
I
feel the same way when I'm there all the time.
Like, oh, snap. Shotty's lost.
I remember. He was, me and him were the only two men at Pan-American.
That's right.
Where women shine.
Yes.
It was me and him were the only two men in the whole building.
Men.
Well, you know what's funny, and I got to say this. Last month, I was in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, at a movie theater they have there, Capitol Theater. And I went to investigate, and it was a little conference, too, they had there. And the strangest thing happened when I went to investigate. Every piece of equipment I brought with me at that time, the batteries failed. The one piece of equipment that the battery didn't fail, the SD card didn't work.
Oh, my God.
And even my car battery failed.
Oh.
Where I couldn't start my car when I left, and that was parked in front of the building.
They're draining really your energy.
Yeah. So that was kind of strange, you know, and... It was pouring down raining. We closed up at midnight. Here it is, 2 a.m., and I kept trying to flag people down to give me a hot shot. Nobody would stop. Not one man stops.
How dare they?
And these two girls must have been waitresses, were getting off of work. They still had half of their waitress uniform. That's how I knew they were waitresses. They pulled over and gave me a hot shot. Uh-huh. So hooray for the two girls.
Guardian angels, right?
Yes, definitely. So I got to admit that, you know, if it weren't for them, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Really. So, you know, you have a technical brain. You know, you have this degree in electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. You believe in the paranormal. Like, so you have a sense of, what's the word that I want? Help me out, Joe.
Don't know. I don't know where you're going with this.
I was going somewhere. But you know, I had a blind moment. So, like, you rationalize things, right?
Yes.
You can explain it.
Right.
Do you, and yet you believe in what's unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of your experiences.
Right.
Now, do you believe that there are angels, demons, different types of entities that never had a human form? Because we're human, we're made of energy. Our energy doesn't go somewhere. Do you have faith in that specter of, okay, something's never had a human form?
Well, in order to first take off my Clark Kent outfit and put my Superman outfit on.
Hey. You look good in that cape, Mike.
Yeah. You're getting into my other self. Because I'm also...
I notice your crucifix that you're
yes.
wearing. Yep.
I am also a trained and ordained exorcist.
Oh, here we go. I knew I was going that way for some reason.
So, yes, I believe in angels. I believe in demons. If you believe in one, you got to believe in the other because angels are angels and demons are fallen angels.
Okay.
And putting that with, and I'll say this, what people call paranormal, which is not paranormal, it's actually supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all part of the same realm as the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand them, you'll understand the spirits and the souls because they all follow the same rules. And that's what's helped me understand all this, you see. And also I've learned that a devil is nothing more than a soul gone bad. And they're usually controlled or influenced or, I'll use the word, a term that we would understand, they're hypnotized by the demons. And I come to that conclusion because we were doing an exorcism at one time, and when we cleared this woman of the demons, and the devils who were there also assisting them, this one devil was hanging around And I asked him, I said, why are you here? And he responded, I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know how I got here. So I was able to deduce from that that when we cleared the woman, we evidently broke the spell on him. Now he's a spirit that's lost totally because he no longer has that influence over him.
So we're, okay, when you're doing your exorcism and you're clearing this negative attachment, mm-hmm. I'll say,
yes.
Where do they go?
Well, usually what I will do, as I was taught to do, is have a warrior angel come and take the demon out of there so that they don't jump right back in. That's also another thing that has to be done, that most people who, even if they don't know what they're doing, happen to perform an exorcism. When you remove the entities, now if they're just attached to the person, that's one thing, but if they're in the person, that's something different, because when you remove that evil spirit from inside them, that leaves a vacuum, and anything can be sucked back in.
What's the difference between having something internally and attached?
Okay, attached only means that it's hanging on you, and it's like influencing you. Sort of like when you're riding a horse, and you are influencing the horse by guiding it which way to go.
Okay.
And it will listen to you because you have the reins and you're pulling them a certain way. That's completely different from, let's say, if you're inside the horse's brain, okay? Then you're actually doing the thinking for them, and they're being suppressed. That's the total difference. The demon's actually in the person's body and has taken over that body as a place for it to live.
What's the condition that allows something to get in you? Like, how does that happen? Like, is that person weak or in the moment of emotional distress or on drugs? Or what opens the veil for that to get inside?
You pretty much named a good start.
Okay.
really, almost any one of them, and even all of them, can do it. A state of depression. I don't care no more. You know, my life is a drag. I don't care what happens to me. They kind of like are internally signing an agreement that they don't care who or what controls them. And a lot of times then a Lucifer will send the demon over there and says, look, that person doesn't give a darn what they're going to do. Why don't you go over there and take over? And they can do that because they have that ability. And, you know, if you just read any part of the Bible, particularly those sections about angels, there's all kinds of angels and they have all kinds of powers. And when they become a demon, they don't lose any one of those powers. When God made them as to what they are what they are, period. They can't change.
So if a negative entity like a devil or a demon can get inside of you, can a positive, can an angel get inside of you as well? Like something positive?
Well, definitely, yes. Mm. Anywhere in the Bible where you'll read about the Holy Spirit comes within you and directs you, that is the same type of possession. But that's something with a positive outcome.
Yeah, how do you get more of that? You know, like, give me some of that good
pray
stuff.
Pray for it. That's all you got to do. And instead of standing there saying, I don't care about, you say, I care about, I believe in you, God. Give me your Holy Spirit. You know, help me, mm-hmm. guide me on. That's what you do.
Yeah. And okay. The big difference is when you're having a positive entity attached to you, it's allowing you to make the decisions, so you don't really sense that it's there, but it's helping you with those decisions. But
right.
If you have a negative in there, it's controlling you, so it's going to knock you down even more, and you're going to not feel as much in control.
Exactly, exactly.
So you say there's all different types of angels. Like, do different angels guide you in different areas of your life? So, like, is there an angel of finance or an angel of love? Or, you know what I mean? Different angels that you can call upon to help you in certain areas of your life?
Well, basically,
your opinion, I mean, just saying.
The best way to do it is to do it how it tells you in the Bible. You just pray to Jesus Christ, and, you know, he's God Almighty, and he is the Father of all. So if you go right to the source, it doesn't matter whether he's doing it directly or he directs an angel to take care of whatever it is, you know that it's going to get done. You know what I'm saying? So that's really the just of all, you know? And truthfully, when I started to learn that paranormal wasn't paranormal and supernatural was really what we were dealing with, and I also knew of the Bible and what was in the Bible, and of course I had faith in Jesus Christ. When I put all these together, I said, wait a minute, this all has the same pattern. And in science, anything that follows the same pattern is within the same realm. So that showed me that all this is interrelated. And there's a positive and negative to it.
Yeah, I was just reading or listening to something that said everything in the universe has a duality. There's a dark and a light, a yes and mm-hmm. a no, you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
Right.
There's everything has two sides to it, which I was like, yeah, you think about it. It's like,
in a
yeah.
sense, it's absolutely
yeah,
right.
Happy,
yes.
sad,
yes.
good, bad, that kind of thing.
And unfortunately, in France, the physics people there in CERN have pretty much found that out to be true, where they found that in using energy and matter, which everything on our world's made of, they found that there's an equal amount of antimatter. Originally, we only heard this on Star Trek, but they've actually proved it exists now. Which scares me a little bit, because the Bible, of course, says that he's going to come a time when he's going to destroy our world and make a new one. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we blow it up ourselves, because these guys are messing with this antimatter, saying, well, if I have an ounce of antimatter and it's got an ounce of matter, if I produce 2 ounces of antimatter, I'll create an ounce of matter. Well, that's up to God. He can, I'm sure he knows what he's doing messing with that
yeah.
stuff. I don't trust, you know, I don't mind a Frenchman or even a French woman, but I don't want no Frenchman, you know what I'm saying, developing antimatter in order to make matter, because the next thing you know, we're going to be blown to bits.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
It all goes back to energy, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And like we said before, can't be destroyed.
No, it can't.
Just changed.
It just changed, and it's going to be, people keep talking about the Big Bang. Well, they're going to have the Big Bang if they ever mess that up, because this world's going to just explode.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the negative side or the darker energy has increased in the world lately?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like, I don't know, just like in the last 5 years, it just seems like that's really, I mean, look at all the like disasters and horrible things that have happened. It just seems like there's more darkness than light being put out there right now.
Well, there is, and people are getting more and more self-centered, and this is what's causing it. And actually,
Joe,
if you look at what? The Bible, and here I have to go back to that. I know this is paranormal, but truthfully, in the Bible, they talk about Revelation. If you read that, they're going to say in there that there's going to come a time when bad will be considered good and good will be considered bad, and that's the era we're getting into.
Really, it seems like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always have this thought, like, okay, because we come and do things where we're opening ourselves up to spirits and different realms, and it's like, are we, because there's so many people interested in paranormal now, are we opening up that or thinning that veil for this negative energy to come through?
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
Should we have some responsibility in that?
We should.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to do that. And then when I do a lecture, I try to tell people, you know, everybody wants to go, oh, I'd really like to see a demon. No, you don't.
No.
You know,
no.
This ain't no yeah. kids' ride we're talking about here. Right. And it's not television. This is not entertainment. It's for real. You don't really want to meet a demon. I have, because it's something of what I do. And this isn't a job that I chose one day to do. I was called to do it. You know, I have the understanding. So God's relied on my understanding, say, you know, you're ready to do this kind of work because you understand where it goes. And that's what I do, you know, and I do it because I understand. And, you know, I was called to do this, and not everybody can do this. You know, I worry the heck out of the pastor of the church I go to, you know. He tells me, you're bringing more, you know, I'm not bringing the demons, but I'm definitely giving them a where to go.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a very strong constitution, I think, because if you're an emotionally weak person dealing with something like that, you will be destroyed.
Well, yeah, right? You open yourself up to it.
You have to be a strong warrior.
Absolutely.
To be able to stand up and face that kind of darkness.
Yeah. And believe me, God keeps me humble. Because I have to be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you for coming on.
Yes. It's an absolute pleasure, as always.
Yes. We'll definitely have you back.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a joy to just listen to you speak.
Yeah,
and
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Crossed again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they will again.
Oh, I know they will.
For sure. Because we're coming to the Ramblewood House.
All right.
All right. Everybody out there, thank you for listening.
Yes, appreciate it.
We will talk to you next week. Mm-hmm. But until then, get up there on our Facebook page. Tell us what you think of the show. If the show does bring any kind of joy to you, please share it with your friends. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.